The sponsor for the month is Founders Ministries. Founders Ministries exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of churches. They've provided resources for churches since 1982 through conferences, books, the Sword and the Trowel podcast, video documentaries, online articles found at founders.org, the quarterly Founders Journal, Bible studies, International Church Search, and the newly launched seminary-level training program, the Institute of Public Theology. Founders believes that the biblical faith is inherently doctrinal, and they are therefore confessional in their convictions. You can learn more about Founders Ministries and how to partner with them at founders.org. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. The Shepherd's Crook exists to provide care, counsel, and resources for pastors. You can get more information at theshepherdscrook.co. My name is Jared Sparks, and I'm a pastor coming alongside other pastors, reminding them of the chief pastor. Welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. This is episode 191, and today we're going to talk about suffering and sickness, probably the most personal of all the episodes that I've done recently on suffering, and it's deeply personal even to me right now as I've just preached a funeral of a friend of mine that passed away. And passed away from cancer. And so it's just it's something that's been on my mind, and I know it's on your mind as you're pastoring people and shepherding people through, you know, the difficulties that they face and through the suffering and sickness that we face year in and year out. We're faced with situations that we have to shepherd people through difficult situations as they watch friends or family members. And eventually, you know, it is a one-to-one, 100% out of 100% of people will die at some point. And that happens more times than not by way of sickness. So we're going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to make a couple comments, and then I want to thank all the new Gab subscribers that have joined. I just want to thank you so much for being here. And for those that have not yet subscribed to my Gab channel, the way to sign up for the Founders book giveaway this month is to just subscribe to my Gab channel, and then to comment on any of the videos. And if you do that, you're going to be signed up. But let's go ahead and pray and trust that the Lord's going to help us. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this day. I pray that you give me strength and energy as I do this video. Thank you for so many new people that have been tuning in. And thanks for all the new subscribers. And Lord, I just ask that this would be a blessing and a help to people. God, thank you for the pastors that are continuing to come back. And I just ask that this would be food. This would be something that's helpful to them as they're shepherding your people. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I look rough this morning because I have been up since midnight last night. I have been sick for several days, and I'm now on the backside of it, but I just could not go to sleep last night. I was coughing and continued to cough and continued to cough and continued to cough, and you can see it in my eyes right now. I'm just in recovery mode big time, but I'm here, and I wanted to intentionally put this together and put this out today, and then also just let you know again what's coming down the line. I'm doing more videos on Gab. If you're listening on just the regular podcast, there are some videos on Gab that I've been putting up that are more everyday life things and life skills and practical things that I've been learning and teaching my boys and that I'm wanting to continue to learn. I'm videoing them and putting them up on the channel, and it's just been something that I've enjoyed, and it takes little to no time because I'm recording with my phone just projects that I'm doing every single day. And so if you want to, you know, check that out, you can subscribe. Also, I'm going to be doing some fun things like reviewing products. That's going to be a lot of fun. And if you have a product that you would like me to review, then you can send that to me, and then I'll consider reviewing it if I enjoy the product and I find it helpful. The first thing I'm going to be reviewing is this week I'm going to be reviewing this Woolrich shirt and talking to you about why it's the best shirt for men for the wintertime. I got a couple of these that I'm going to tell you about. And the other thing I want to say is if you want to not just subscribe, but if you want to support the channel and support the work as you've been listening to the podcast, you can certainly do that. And you can just go follow the link that's in the Instagram profile or go to theshepherdscrook.co and you can donate via PayPal. You can also do that on the Gab channel because it's just right there, support the channel. And I have some equipment that I do want to purchase that's minimal cost, under $100. And it would help offset some of that cost. And also I have reoccurring monthly cost for the website and the ministry that just continues to go on. So if you do want to support the channel and support that work, you can make a one-time donation, or you can subscribe, you know, I mean, do like anybody else does on Patreon or whatever, where it's just set it up for $5 a month and then that can be ongoing support. And I certainly would appreciate it. Okay, today we're going to be talking about sickness. I mean, it's deeply personal, right? I mean, I already told you that I just had to officiate at the funeral of a friend of mine that passed away. you know, cancer, you hear cancer and you wonder, why in the world is the world so infected with cancer or disease that's just rampant everywhere, or the autism rates that continue to grow higher and higher and higher for the various reasons or causes that we may find, and they're not there in the history. You know, autism, mental retardation, is there in the history of the world, but autism is this new thing that's just showed up over the last 100 years. And you think about even just infection that comes year in and year out, what I just went through, this is all under the banner of suffering, and it's its own category called sickness. And I think it is important when we talk about suffering to categorize the different kinds of suffering that we're talking about, because we have persecution, we have natural disasters, we have suffering, and these all have their own issues that we have to work through biblically, and that we also have to counsel through as we're counseling our people. Some things that need to be said on the front end, just preliminary things that we need to be all in agreement about, is number one, the sickness is a post-fall reality. Like all the aspects of suffering, sickness is something that's post-fall. It's a part of the curse. Therefore, all suffering, like all suffering, sickness is temporary. It's not an eternal thing that's going to be with us forever and ever and ever. But it certainly is complicated. It's a complicated issue as we get into the scriptures and we get into personal counseling of people. And I first want to address a common mistake that many people made, and this is made by hyper, like Bill Johnson, and just healing now people, okay? Just, you guys all know people like that. You may have dabbled on that before. But one of the common mistakes that people make is the unbiblical assumption that we have received resurrected bodies right now. And it typically goes like this: Jesus died for all your sins. And the mistake that a lot of prosperity preachers make, well, they will say that Jesus became sin on your behalf, meaning that he became a sinner. And we have to understand that Jesus was obedient even to the point of death. He didn't become a sinner, he was counted as a sinner. Just like we who are those who are righteous in Christ Jesus, we are counted righteous. We're not actually righteous. We're growing in righteousness, but we are counted righteousness. We are credited with the very righteousness of Christ. Likewise, we don't get a resurrected body right now. We have a promise of a resurrected body one day in the future, and we have the promise of perfect, what's imputed to us will be a reality about us in the area of righteousness, actually, one day. We will actually one day be fully righteous, but until then, we are counted righteous. And we have these promises of an inheritance, an eternal inheritance that we will one day receive in Christ, because Christ has a resurrected body. We will one day have a resurrected body that's procured for us by Jesus. But a common mistake people make is that they believe or teach that we've already received resurrected bodies as Christians. Therefore, we should never be sick. And they say, well, Jesus took the sicknesses and by his stripes we are healed. So therefore, we should not have any sickness in this life ever. And, you know, Bill Johnson is comically said that we should not have any sickness as he's wearing eyeglasses and has a splinted finger. And it would be comical if it wasn't so sad. But we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, that our bodies now, as Christians, that our bodies are like jars of clay. We are slowly wasting away. As we get older, we all know this. We don't yet have resurrected bodies. Newsflash, you have joint pain the older you get. I mean, we still get sick. Every time you have a head cold, if what prosperity preachers say is true, we should question that our sins are actually forgiven. Because if the atonement did the same thing for our bodies as it does for our sins, then every time our bodies are sick, we should question the validity of the cross for our sins. But the fact is, they are confused and wrong about this, okay? So we see this actually in 2 Timothy verses chapter 2, verse 6 to 18, and we see this with the first prosperity preachers. I wrote an article several years ago about this that went around a little bit, but I want to read this because I think it's important for us to see. In chapter 2, verse 16, starting verse 16, I want you to hear what Hymenaeus and Philetius did. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead to people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetius, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. Let's pause. Now, the resurrection of Christ already happened. That's not what Hymenaeus and Philetius were teaching. They were teaching that our resurrection has already happened, and not just spiritual, like we've been born again. They were teaching that our physical bodies have been resurrected as Christ's had been resurrected, that resurrection had already happened. And they are upsetting the faith of some. It didn't even upset everybody. It just upset the faith of some. Some people actually liked what they were teaching, and others didn't like what they were teaching. It's the exact same today with prosperity teachers who are teaching the exact same thing, that you should never be sick, and if you're sick, it's because it's for some reason, outside of God's control. And there's really no explanation why any Christian would ever be sick by those who believe that healing is purchased in the atonement. Healing now is purchased in the atonement. They were doing the exact same thing. This is the first prosperity preachers teaching that we should have resurrected bodies, and we do have resurrected bodies right now. It's an issue that's still prevalent today. All healing now people make this mistake. But here's the question for everybody else who's not in the healing now camp. God does heal, doesn't he? God does command that we pray for healing, doesn't he? Didn't Jesus' life, death, and resurrection procure an eternal resurrected body? Yes. So in some sense, it is true that God will heal every Christian. And the question is, well, does God want to heal everybody right now? That's clearly no, absolutely not. But God does want to and will, not just want, but will heal every Christian for all of eternity with our resurrected bodies. But in the present, right now, how we approach sickness. We know that Exodus chapter 4, verse 11, God says to Moses, "Who has made man blind, deaf, or dumb? Is it not I, the Lord?" And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus healing people who have been mute or blind. And we see this some sort of conflict there, or we have questions that kind of bubble to the surface, and we have these prosperity preachers that will say, you know, God can't give what he doesn't have. It's like, wait a minute, that preaches with some churches and congregations, but God over and over again gives sickness to people in the Old Testament, or withholds sickness, or brings health all over the place. God is clearly sovereign over sickness and over health. And we have this in Jesus where he's healing not everybody, but he heals multitudes of people who come to him. And then at times he doesn't heal everybody that's around. He only heals the one, John chapter 5. But these questions do rise up, especially when sickness comes our way. And eventually and inevitably, it will come to your home and it will come to you. Had to get a drink of coffee for those that are listening in. So what do we do? Okay, for number one, we have to say, pray for the sick. And we have to pray for healing. James chapter 5 explicitly commands prayer for healing. If any of you is sick, let him call on the elders to pray. That is a command. We have to pray. Now it's interesting because in James chapter 1, we're told that we're told to endure trials. And there is some sort of a paradox between chapter 1 and chapter 5. But we have this clear command to pray for healing. We are called to pray and pray that God would bring healing in sickness. Notice how we are not told over and over again explicitly, we are not told to only submit to God's will. Prayer is this, it is this robust and really big systematic category in the scriptures where we have so many different angles to prayer. But prayer is never this just one consistent line where we're only to pray like this in this situation and only to pray like that in that situation. And sickness is one of those things where we have to take all of what the Bible teaches about prayer and combine it together and then find a path forward. Okay? Meaning, there's a time to submit to the will of the Lord, where Jesus is praying in the garden and saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." But then there's times to pray prayers of petition as well. We're not just simply to resign to the will of God. It's popular with those who believe in the sovereignty of God like I do and are strong in their understanding and in their desire to see God praised for his bigness and his might and his power. It's common in circles like that to be very resigned when it comes to prayer and the will of God, to where prayer just becomes this thing where we only just say, "And God, let your will be done." And that's it. We're just like this resignation where we see that this is like the holy end of prayer is just only just resignation. But we never appeal to God. We never make our requests made known to him. We never bring our anxieties and cares to him. But prayer is not, it cannot be just resignation to God's will without first making appeals to him. This is clear throughout all the scriptures that prayer is deeply personal, and we are praying and appealing to our Father about things that we're anxious about, and then specifically about sickness in James chapter 5. We are appealing, even calling the elders in to anoint with oil and pray that God would hear our prayer and bring healing and salvation. Now, there is an end to this. We appeal, and then after the appeal, after we make our prayers and request made known to the Lord, then what do? Well, we submit to our Heavenly Father. Submission isn't proper submission to the will of God without petition. Petition before submission. Because if we're not petitioning before the Lord, if we're not appealing to him, we're not praying properly. We have to appeal before we submit, and then we submit to our Heavenly Father. Paul does a good job of this. He does this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5 through 10. And as we look at the thorn in the flesh, and there's been major controversy, you know, about what this thorn in the flesh actually was. I think it was an eye ailment. It was some sort of infirmity. It wasn't just naysayers and people who were coming against him and haters, like theological haters that were following him around, because he uses the word infirmities when he uses the word weakness in verse 29. But I want us to see this because Paul lays this out for us, and it gives us a path forward of praying and appealing, but then also it gives us a path forward of what to actually do. Let's go back to the very first episode and remember, don't just ask why this is happening, but ask what are we to do in this? When sickness comes, what are we to do? Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 5. Let me turn there. Flip one page. Here's what he says. On behalf of this, he's talking about the revelation that was made to him. To Paul as he was brought into this third heaven. On behalf of this man, I will boast. And he's speaking humbly, speaking about himself. But on my behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should boast, wish to boast, I would not be a fool. For I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, but that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of those revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. What the evil intended, what the enemy intended for evil, which was to harass Paul, God sent this messenger of Satan to Paul to actually make him humble, to keep him from being conceited. So when sickness comes our way, we are to walk in humility. I mean, this is a principle that can apply to, that can be applied to every situation of sickness. Walk in humility, okay? Petition the Lord and walk in humility. Here's what Paul did, though. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. So Paul didn't just immediately go to resignation and say, okay, God, let your will be done. He pleaded with the Lord. And he said to me, God said back, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, Paul says, so that in the power of Christ may rest on me. Power is on the other end of boasting in weaknesses. For, verse 10, the sake of Christ then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. This is real strength when we're not letting these things that are happening to us bog us down and destroy our life, but we move forward and we do what God has called us to do in spite of them. And we'll boast all the more of them. Look, God is strong. He's the powerful one. And in that, that's how we become strong. This is what Paul did. He prayed, and then he trusted the Lord. And so we have a little bit of a path forward here. What to do in sickness? Number one, we pray for healing. We appeal to the Lord. Okay, we trust him. We appeal to him. We pray to him. And then we trust to him as our sovereign father. And God, we thank you no matter what comes our way. We're going to be like Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. There's going to be a lot of question marks that when it comes to suffering about why God did this or why God didn't do this, or what was allowed and why wasn't this allowed. But we come to him, petition, submit, and then we grow in our sanctification. We want to grow in godliness. That's what we do through sickness, is we grow in godliness. We don't put our head down and wonder if God loves me, if he's going to take care of me, if he's going to take care of my family. There were big questions surrounding my friend's death because he had people that depended upon him. And he had to trust the Lord that God was going to take care of his family. I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's really tough. But the scriptures don't leave us in a place of not having any direction whatsoever. And even though it is tough, we do have some direction. And I hope this has been helpful to you today. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Pastors, shepherd your people through sickness. You're going to have to run into sickness, not away from it. And in fact, because James chapter 5, we're not allowed to social distance. We have to run into sickness. We have to run into pain. We can't run away from it. I mean, gosh, this is what God's called us to. Run into sickness, not away from it. We ran into the bubonic plague. We run into COVID. We run into people that have cancer. We run towards people who are hurting and suffering. That's what we do. We're pastors, for goodness sake. We're shepherds of sheep. And so at risk to ourselves, we run into harm's way for the good of those under our care. That's what we do. And we trust the Lord in the process. So pastors, shepherd well. Point people to Jesus through suffering and specifically in sickness. And for those that may be walking through sickness and suffering right now, trust the Lord, okay? Pray for healing. Trust him, your Father, with the results. Submit to his will. And then grow in sanctification. Have a great rest of your week.